put your mouth on. So one of the things that will get you out of armor is when you begin to speak negatively or speak indifferently about a man or a woman of God that's called of God and that's operating in their office. Amen? You know, that's so very important that you don't do that. And in reference to that, and I know everybody knows this, but one of the things the Lord told me, you know, is the simple things, you know, the Bible says it's the little foxes that fall about. But it's not the complicated things, but it's the little things in time we forget, and we forget the significance of them. You never want to go before a man of God empty-handed. Always have a seed ready and available. Matter of fact, there's never a time that I come to church that I don't have a prepared seed ready. You know, I learned that from Dr. Phil. You know, a morning seed, an evening seed, a night seed, a midnight seed, whatever it takes. But always, you never want to go before a man of God empty-handed. Because you don't know what seed it's going to take. What seed that you're going to sow that's going to bring you into another level. You know, and it could happen just like that. You know, and so you, with that in mind, let's go to Genesis 8 and 22. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 8 and 22. I'm way over in Exodus. I don't know why. It's the first book in the Bible. I just opened my Bible and it went straight to Exodus. All right, let me. Praise God. 8 and 22. Okay, it says in Genesis 8 and 22, while the earth remained, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So as long as the earth remains turning on its axis, the long as the earth is still in existence, what this scripture is saying is that, and as long as the seasons change, the, you know, from cold to heat, from summer to winter, we're getting into the spring, going into the summer, and we're going to go back around to the winter. It says that seed time and harvest is going to remain. In other words, when you plant a seed, that seed will produce a harvest. You know, you can plant seeds of honor. And those seeds of honor will produce a harvest. So as long as the earth remained, the principle of the spiritual principle of sowing and reaping is backed by that scripture, Genesis 8 and 22. You sowing seeds of honor. And you always want to remember that. That's so very important. All right. When dishonor is displayed, or what I mean by display, when somebody is operating in dishonor by like speaking negligence against the man of God, not sowing, not following protocol is you're out of order by doing that, not following divine order. Anytime dishonor is displayed, it will inhibit, which means it will slow up something, it'll short circuit, it'll restrain, and it will also block the supernatural and the blessings of God from flowing down into your life. Anytime dishonor is displayed or inhibited, you know, displayed, it's going to short circuit. I use the illustration of a electrical socket. If the wiring behind that is not connected tight, sometimes you'll put a cord in there and it'll, you know, it'll flicker and the lights may flicker. I know in our bedroom years ago when they built our house, apparently whoever was putting the electrical sockets didn't take their time to tighten everything. And whenever we had more than one thing on a cord, or especially a power strip, the lights in the bathroom would just kind of start to flicker. And so I told my wife, we're going to have to get an electrician, somebody to look at this. The wiring is bad. And the guy said that when they put those electrical sockets in, they didn't tighten them, and they hooked them in the wrong spot. There's two spots for them. And so that it wasn't getting enough current
for what we would, the demand we was putting on, and enough current wasn't coming through the wire. So that was causing things to flicker that we had on that circuit. And so with that said, you know, any time dishonor is displayed, it will short circuit the power of God in your life. And so you don't want dishonor to keep keep you from being robbed of what God has for you. Amen. Okay, now we also talked about life sources. And I remember saying that a life source is anybody who nurtures or produces or gives life. You know, we talked about how our natural parents, they can be considered a life source because they have nurtured and they have given us life and brought us up in the world. But then from a spiritual perspective, you have your pastor who's ministering the word of life and ministering to people, speaking for life that's coming out of their mouths. So they are life sources. And we said that a life source is anyone or anything that gives and nurtures life. Is an originator of life, physical or spiritual life, a giver or one that releases life, you know. And one of the things we also said is that you don't want to dishonor a life source. You know, the Bible talks about being disobedient to parents and dishonoring your parents. There's consequences for doing that. And for even in a natural point, you know, one of the things, I have a mom who just made 86, and we make sure we take care of her. Me and my brothers were talking today, you know, because there's caregivers who come in and do things for her, that they follow strict protocol of getting their hands clean and making sure that everything in the house is sanitary because of her age. You know, but it's an area of honoring. You know, but anytime you dishonor a life source, you know, there's grave consequences involved with that. So you always want to honor a life source. Okay, and I gave you a definition of honor. The one that I really liked the best was honor is one who has certain privileges conferred upon them in lieu of their anointings, their giftings, and their ranks. It's a privilege, and it's an honor. It's a rank that's given to somebody or privileges in lieu or because of the anointing that's on their life. They need to be honored. You know, when God blesses someone or elevates them to a particular office of a prophet or apostle or an evangelist, you know, there's an honor that goes with that. When you know the governor comes in, you know, there's a particular level of honor that should be given him. I never forget, years ago, my wife and I, we were at a church in Baton Rouge. I'm not going to name the church, but there was at that time where he went on to be a Lord several years ago. But there was a mighty man of God who was speaking at the church. And most of the times, he was always overseas, so you didn't really get a chance to see him that much. And so when we heard that he was going to be in town, we went to see him. And so by the training that we had, when he walked onto the podium, my wife and I, we stood up. And then we kind of looked around, you know, everybody else was sitting down. And I said, don't they recognize who this is? And the anointing that's on his life and what God has done, you know. And then I recognized a lot of times people walk in dishonor because they just don't know any better. They haven't been taught. They're ignorant of the blessing that comes through walking in honor. I'll never forget, we were in Las Vegas, my wife and I, she went there for some training for her job, and another mighty man of God was there, and so while he was ministering, the Lord laid up on my heart to, you know, take out, you know, some money out of my wallet and walk up and sow it into his life, and people looked at me like, what is he doing, you know, and he was familiar with it, because he had been associated with apostle, and then another man said, well, like, I got to do something too, so he had a pocket knife. So he went and sold his pocket knife, you know, but it was odd because certain churches, they're not used to that. You know, we take it and don't take it for granted, but, you know, that's something that, you always want to show honor to whom honor is due. Amen? And that's the point I want to get. You know, so honor is when certain privileges are conveyed in lieu of a person's, you know, anointing, their gifting, and their ranks. You know, honor is one who has notoriety and recognition. Also, honor is one who has high esteem and high public esteem, or one of high reputation. Those people are to be honored because of their notoriety and their ranks, okay? We talked about how offense can keep a person and rob you from the blessings of God when you walk in offense. The Bible says not to let the sun go down on your wrath. And Jesus even said, you know, warn those who are offended. And he even said it's better to take your eye out or cast one of your hands aside, you know, and go into heaven with one eye or one hand than have your whole body go into hell because you walked in offense. When you become offended, you turn off and you end the process of blessing that God has for you through the apostolic source that he has sent you. A lot of times you'll get offended about something, you know, through, and even in the preaching of the word, sometimes people, they, something that might be, you know, one of the things the apostle said, sometimes he'll just get rough. A man of God who's anointed and following, they may just get rough and say something, and you cannot allow offense to set in, because God wants to do something. He wants to bless you, but because you allow that offense to get in, it basically will end the process. I use the illustration offense, O-F-F-E-N-D, all right, that's offend, but it off-ends the process of what God is trying to do in your life. So you don't want to walk in offense. You want to, the key is to always yield. Yield and flow. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of times I tell people, if you don't quite understand something, put it on the shelf and just ask God to give you wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and give it to all men liberally and unabraded not, and it shall be given him. You know, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. You know, so it's very important that we, you know, ask for wisdom and don't walk in offense. Another area where people miss it in the area of honor is they become too familiar with their man of God, too familiar with their pastor. In the military, because I grew up in a military family, my dad would travel and visit some of his military friends at different bases. I never forget this one trip we made. I was probably 13 years old, and we were in North Carolina at a Marine Air Station. And driving around, my dad's friend, he was a captain. He was saying, you know, these are the master sergeant quarters. These are the, you know, the corporal quarters. These are the captain's quarters. These are the major, and these are the brigadier general's quarters and the lieutenant general's. And he just went on and on. And each, when I say quarters, that was really like little neighborhoods that the generals and the admirals and the different people lived in. And the degree of houses changed based upon the rank of the individual. And there was even those who were considered enlisted men and those who were considered officers. And there was a distinction, you know. And one of the things I learned about the military is the reason why there's such protocol is because they understand rank. They understand position. You know, if someone comes in front of you or you pass their presence and they are of higher rank, you salute them in an act of honor or acknowledging their position. You know, that's just protocol. You know, we as Christians need to understand spiritual protocol. You know, because the honor is wrapped up in how we function and flow in protocol, you know, and that's so very important that we understand. And you never want, the point I want to get at is, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 13 and 57, Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. He is literally saying that familiarity in many places breeds dishonor and discontent. When you become too familiar with your man of God, too familiar with your pastor.
too familiar with the First Lady. You know, you never
want to become buddy-buddy with the pastor. You know, yes, you can have, you know, good fellowship, but you got to recognize God has sent him, sent that a prophet, sent that apostle in your life to speak into your life. I always respected my father. You know, it never got to the point where, you know, well, I'm going to put it like this. The day before he went home to be with the Lord, I never forget, he and I, the night before, he and I talked, and it was like a man-to-man conversation, you know. And it felt odd because he wasn't instructing me. We were just talking, and you know, but 99% of the time, it was always him giving me instruction, giving me advice, telling me things that he might have done that he don't want me to get involved in. He said, you know, just being a father, giving me fatherly advice. And so there was a respect and an honor there. And that's so very important. And in ministry, there needs to be a respect and an honor where there's not always just a familiarity. Just, you know, give you an illustration. Bible says Jesus in his own hometown couldn't do many mighty works because of their unbelief, because they saw him as Joseph and Mary's son, who they played baseball or basketball with coming up. You know, they didn't see him as the anointed one of God. They saw him as an ordinary person. You know, you got to recognize when God calls somebody and he equips them and he puts his spirit on the inside of them and equips them with, you know, whatever gifts and talents that they possess, those gifts and talents are there for you, you know. And so to tap into it, you have to honor. To tap into it, you have to respect. You got to respect the office. It's no difference in respecting the police. You know, when, I mean, I might be doing 80. I see a police, I'm slowing down. You know, it's, you know, I shouldn't have been doing it, but, you know, if I didn't respect it, you know, and the authority that it has, I would just keep on flying, you know, going about my business. But, you know, it's a respect. You know, and that respect needs, in order to walk in honor, that respect needs to be completely restored. And everybody needs to understand how to flow in it. Amen? All right, let me move on. Getting back to sowing. In ministry, there needs to be reciprocation, where people are sowing into a gift and receiving impartation instead of established business contracts with no impartation. And what I mean by that is, in ministry, when you talk about reciprocation, reciprocate is if I give something to you, but at the same time, you're giving something back to me. You know, and so when a man, the Bible says, we should not muzzle the ox that threaded out the corn. In other words, if you got an ox that's helping you to form your garden, you're not going to deprive him of the food he needs and the nutrition he needs. You're going to make sure that your ox is in good health so that he can do a job. Well, in ministry, there needs to be reciprocation where people are sowing into the anointing, are sowing, let me be specific, sowing into the man of God, you know, and by doing that, and they're going to receive impartation instead of established, you know, the author talks about established business contracts. A lot of times when people are invited to speak at somebody else's church, you know, instead of them recognizing the gift, well, then I'm coming to your church to receive an honorarium. Or it's a business contract, and then you come to my church. But it should be, you know, when an apostle comes to one of the LTMA churches, is there to impart, you know, and he's imparting into the members of the church and the pastor and all those people who are affiliated, you know. And so as reciprocation, he's sowing spiritual things, and we sow our natural carnal things into him. And that's what I mean about, you know, reciprocation, you know. And it shouldn't be a business contract among pastors where, you know, I'm just there for an offering. No, he tells you every time, I don't need an offering, you know. I don't need the money, but you need to sow. Because going back to Genesis 8 and 22. As the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, night and day, heat and cold, you know, as long as all those things are functioning, that's the way God set up the system. You know, that's God's system. If you wanna I even tell people say, well, I don't have a friend. Well, sow some friendly seeds. You know, if you be friendly, people are going to be friendly to you. That's just reciprocation. It works in every area. You can apply that to every area of your life. You know, let me move on. 15 minutes, 30 seconds. Sons and daughters must recognize that the hand of the father or their spiritual father releases the blessing that they need. Sons and daughter must honor, respect, and acknowledge that the Father has been sent by God and empowered to convey and to transfer the impartation that they need. And that's so very important. I'm going to read that again. And these are questions we had early in the year. So I'm not saying nothing that you never heard or saw. Sons, I just added the daughter part because I want to make sure that, you know, I know it's generic, but I want to make sure that everybody is included. Sons and daughters must realize that the hands of their spiritual father releases the blessing that they need. Sons and daughters must honor and respect and acknowledge that the Father has been sent and empowered by God to convey and to transfer the impartation that they need. You know, I mean, that's a spiritual principle there. And that's, you know, I've run across people and they feel like, you know, almost like they're an island. I can get it all. I don't need to sit under nobody. God has blessed me. You know, I got 25 people in my congregation and we're blessed. When I came up in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, there were a lot of young ministers or people called of God who broke away from denominations and Baptists and Catholics and started their own churches. You know, but one of the things, you know, and I thank God for just, and I don't even know how, just I wasn't gonna do anything outside I knew God was telling me to do it. You know, and God never told me to start a church, you know, but God led me here and told me that's where I needed to be. And I've been here for the last 30 years, you know, but a lot of people, they jump up and they start a work without first finding, you know, really finding somebody to sit under, you know, and grow and then be sent out properly. And that's so very important. You see, you operate in honor when you submit, you know. The scripture says, you know, how do you expect God to give you that which is your own if you hadn't really, you know, first submitted to and served somebody, and that's not technically your ministry. But the way I look at it, you know, Word of Life is a part, just as part of, as much as me as it is, you know, Apostle, Dr. Leroy Jr., Dr. Montreal, because, you know, that's all I know. I don't know nothing else as far as, you know, as far as ministry. This is my church. This is what I do, you know, and it's got to be that way. That's when you look at it like that, you can't help but produce and receive honor, you know, because my thing is, we're getting the time right. I'm seeing we're blinking a little bit. Okay. You got it. Okay. You're getting it together. That's so very important that we understand where God has placed us in the body of Christ so that we can now honor God and honor the men and women of God that God has called us to sit under. I hate it when I see people church hop, go from, you know, there's people who left this ministry. I'm going off on some rabbit trail. And I see them in the city somewhere. We get to talking. And so I'm at so-and-so's church now. The next time I see him, I'm over here with brother so-and-so now. And I'm saying, you know, my wife is today, she was taking out some of her plants out of her greenhouse because the weather's been nice, and she's starting to move them around so that they could sprout, you know. But one of the things she doesn't like to do unless you just have to take them out of a certain pot. Because every time you take them out of a certain soil, you kind of stun their growth a little bit because they have to now get reestablished. Right. So every time you go from one ministry to the next, you know, you lose something, you know. It's, you know, but if you stay planted, you know, by the rivers of water that God puts you at, you can't help but grow. Right. You know, and that produces honor. You know, by knowing what God's called you to be and staying there, stay planted in that soil, because, you know, that soil has all the nutrients you need to supply everything in your life. There's not a situation or a circumstance that came up in my wife and I's life that my man of God didn't have the answer that came out of his mouth to us. There's not a situation. I mean, I've talked at times, even when my wife was in the process of losing her job, you know, an opportunity to sow into some land across the street came available. We sowed into it. You know, before the end of the week, the job got restored, plus promotion. You know, I'm talking 600 some people that got laid off, and hers was the only job that got reinstated. But that same week, Apostle says, the Lord is laying upon our heart to buy the land across the street. And immediately she nudged me and says, let's go talk about this. I said, okay, oh boy, here we go. And she said, I the Lord got this amount that he wants us. So I said, oh, okay, if the Lord said that, let's do it. You know, we're going to go with it, you know. And that seed brought immediate deliverance. When my daughter was about to go to school in Atlanta, you know, the scholarship that she had got canceled. That Wednesday, we were going to church. I said, well, look, we're going to church. I said, you got a job. You sow into Apostle. I'm going to sow into him. And we just immediately, before we were supposed to leave that Friday, which we did, to go to an orientation. And en route, the decision got canceled. And the lady said, she sent my daughter an email. And she said, before I start my presentation, this was the vice chancellor. She says, I need to ask one question. She says, is Jessica Calhoun in the audience? And we were way in the back. My daughter waved a hand. He said, daughter, did you, darling, did you get my email? And my daughter shook it. He said, everything is fine. It's all taken care of. You know, but a seed did that. You know, and I guess what I'm saying is, you know, His word was in our mouth, and Saul was presented to us so we could sow into it so we can reap a harvest. You know, I'm so thoroughly convinced how important sowing seeds of honor is that I don't know no other way. I just don't know no other way. Because when you sow seeds of honor, you can't help but get blessed, get deliverance, you know. His word on health and healing and taking care of your body. You know, in the past, 6 months, I've lost over 60 pounds following the word of the man of God. Feeling better. Wearing suits I hadn't worn in 5 or 6 years. Why? Because, you know, his word that I needed was in his mouth, and I took heed to it. You know, and like he always says, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. And I can see I'm not going to finish, but anyway. I just get excited because, you know, I understand more now than ever before. I want to say this. When you know your man of God's heart, when you know your pastor's heart, you can follow with no reservation. When you see their heart, when I say their heart, what they really desire and what they want to see, you know, and it's easy for me to walk in honor towards my man of God because I know his best interest. He has my best interest at heart, and not only just mine, every single person in that congregation. Thank you, sir. You know, so it's, you know, it just makes it easy. It makes it easy to follow. It makes it easy to obey, even if I don't quite always don't understand it all, you know. But God eventually reveals it to me, and we just go with it. When He changes direction, if He goes about face, I go about face. When He goes takes a step back, I'm taking a step back. You know, always follow close. Amen. There's a verse of scripture in Malachi 4. verses 5 and 6 that we talked about. It says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of that great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." In these last days, God is turning the hearts of the fathers, spiritual fathers, towards the children. And see, what was happening is divine order is being established. Because in order for divine order to be established, there first must be an apostolic leader, an apostle sent by God, anointed by God, trained by God to structure doctrine and to instruct people in God's divine order, God's divine way. And then God now is turning the hearts of the children. You know, because before, I mean, there's certain areas of Baton Rouge, there's a church on every corner. I often wonder about that, you know, but I'm not going to get into it. You know, but the reason being is, you know, I ask people, you know, who's your spiritual father? Well, you know, I went to this person's church, and, you know, but they can't definitely tell me nothing. You know, not a lot of people. Some do, most don't. You know, but, you know, you don't want to be a spiritual bastard having no father. You know, find out who your father is, submit to him, and you're going to see, you know, the blessing come upon your life. Amen. Gifts, ministry gifts need to be respected and honored so impartation can be released. Honoring the gift that God has sent, you will release the Father's blessing in your life. I'm going to read that again. Ministry gifts need to be respected and honored so impartation can be released. Honoring the gift that God sent to you will release the blessing in your life. With that said, when I talked a little bit about honor, but in Romans 13 chapter, it talks about, you know, how God structured power sources, that how every power that God is based. Well, let me just read it right quick. If I got enough time to get to it, you don't even have to go there. Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the power that be are ordained of God. In other words, God ordained all power. All power is under God's rule. And with that in mind, God set up authorities because he is a God of order. Without some form of order, there would be chaos and confusion and anarchy, which will result in there being dishonor in the land. You know, if there was no police force, no governmental forces, no laws, no rules, no regulations in this country, it would be total rampage, total anarchy, total disorder. You know, people would do what they want to do. There's, you know, there's no governing factors, nobody to hold you accountable to anything. But God, you know, order came from God. That came from God. You know, the world has copied it, but divine order came from God. You know, and so with that said, order is the structure of honor. You know, so when you have order, it can't help but bring honor. If you have structure in place, levels and ranks in place, that gives you now an avenue for honor to flow. Because, I mean, when you know how the structure flows and you know where, you know, whenever I go somewhere, I always find out who's in charge so I could submit properly. That's divine order. And so with that, when order is in place, and structure is in place, it breeds honor. Amen. All right. My time is up. And we'll continue next week. You guys be blessed. Amen.